I've been asked to make comments on behalf of the Cardiac School District who cannot be here. They're involved in another state funding round this afternoon hearing. And the comments I made are both from Matsu School District and from the Cardiac School District. They were not here to have the advantage of hearing the amendments that have been proposed, so I can't speak for them on that area. But I think the 30 feet is an additional 5 feet. As Ed mentioned, the drivers in our area are trained to have children cross 15 feet in front of the driver, in front of the bus. So if you take 25 feet, subtract 15, you got 10 left. So that means the driver of the motors that aren't coming is only 10 feet from the children. If you make it 30, that gives them another 5 feet. I think that I would support the withdrawing the mandatory court appearance if that satisfies. Apparently, it's working with in the other agencies or the other areas where it's felt that a court appearance is necessary. I believe that the witness mentioned that fishing game.
Just so you understand, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think that you need to see what was happening. The question isn't whether they will have to appear in court.
Okay.
They will have to appear in court. The question is whether we're going to change the present system, which provides that the Supreme Court, by court rule, rather than a statute, says they must appear in court. So they are going to have to appear in court one way or the other. We are just, with a letter of intent, going to request that the Supreme Court have a rule that requires this.
I did understand that. I don't think that I explained my understanding very well, but I do understand that and I do support that.
Okay.
And also, if the problem with the assessment of the 6 points falls into that same area, I would support that too. I believe they mentioned that was also a possibility. I wanted to,
go right ahead. We were having a little aside on that. My own personal view is we need to have that in the statute. I don't want to, because they could say, then why do you need to have the statute at all? And I think that this is a legislative policy, that this is so important, we want a statute about it, and that we want 6 points. Now, Representative Thompson, it's your bill. But I look at this as quite a different thing from what the court system was suggesting. And that's my own personal view, but I think if we have a statute, we have a statute, and let's do it ourselves.
So we'll hear later then what the assessment of that area is from. I'd like to address both the ridership program and the school life program. There were some questions raised by Representative Hanley along those lines. The state safety committee 2 years ago started a pilot program that Ellie Packard referenced. We bought a certain number of strobe lights, and these were white strobe lights, and we mounted them on the side of the stop arm. And on the stop arm, there are two other small ones, two red small ones, and then we put this third one out on the edge. And we have them, I think, in 8 different districts. And the purpose was to see if it effectively alerted motorists if they saw that white strobe. And we did have some very positive results from that. Also, some drivers did complain that there was some brilliance coming off the light. This year, we will test a red strobe light that Mrs. Packard also mentioned. And this is this strobe light replaces the little red light that's already on the stop arm. It would go into both these two flashing red strobes. We had hoped this month to look at, to test different dual powers. And that's kind of like turbo power, and I don't understand it, I want to explain it to you, quite frankly. But there's an 8, a 16, and 20 dual-powered red strobes, and these are being marketed by companies for school buses. They are about $250 a piece. We intend to do a test of the three different dual powers, determine which one we will pilot across the state. We are hoping for another grant from the Department of Education to fund the project. We hope to have, probably 8 or so again, so that we have some in the populated areas, and some of the bush areas will have some up in Barrow again, and Burbanks, and Matsu, Kenai, Juneau, Anchorage, of course, and then maybe Valdez or Glenelg. And we intend to test that again to see how effective they are, and in terms of alerting drivers, the motorists. We also have presently a ridership program. We have developed a coloring book for grades K through 3. do have it printed. We do need to have it redone. Along with that, there has been a curriculum developed, and the coloring book has 12 different illustrations teaching 12 different safe bus riding rules. And one of them is how you board and how do you walk to the bus. You know, you don't walk in the street, you walk up the sign. And you don't play in the street while you're waiting, those kinds of things. You sit down on the bus and you don't move around. Don't play the wild animals at your bus. We did not in our state, that is a problem. There are both moose and bears along, even in that too, and probably some in Anchorage too. So we have a coloring book and we have a curriculum that goes with it that teaches these 12 areas. We hope to have it taught in the schools in grades K through three, in the health section under their safety section. We do not yet have it for the schools because we need about $15,000 and we're looking for a sponsor in order to publish the coloring book and the curriculum. And then we will send it to all the schools. And so we have some projects online that we're working with that deal with training students. Students have a responsibility and have safe transportation. And we do need to work with our motorists to the extent that we can. The Alaska State Troopers last year worked with the state safety committee in developing some of the commercial videos that you've seen. The one in particular I'm thinking of dealt with the passing on the reds. And they used one of the Anchorage buses and they filmed an incident showing the motorists passing, and it was released on the TV stations locally. And on one of them most of the year. We're looking at doing another one this year. So there are some efforts being made, not by districts individually, and by cooperative efforts statewide, to deal with the other aspects, because you all have some responsibility in the city transportation. So I thank you for this opportunity. We support House Bill 240. We hope that it will go all the way, and we will be doing what we can do to help you throughout the legislative session.
Thank you, Ms. Hutchins. Representative Hanley.
No questions.
Representative Thompson. I have a question or two. With respect to this pilot project, you were talking about
a great... lost transmission.
What? Soldatna,
can't hear you.
Oh, Soldatna, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. With respect to the pilot project for the strobe lights, how much of a grant are you seeking?
Well, they're $250 a piece, and... $250 a bus. Is that a piece or a bus?
Per bus,
okay. And it'd be good to have at least one in every, in fact, we really should have two in some of the districts. So let's say Anchorage has two, Fairbanks 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 to 13 at least, for $250. And they're fairly easy to install. The last ones we did, we had to sort of makeshift. This was not an application rate for schools. So we're looking at $250, $2,500, a little over $3,000.
Yeah, if it was $250 and you had 12, that would be $3,000, right?
We ran a safety sensor project last year on the same, with a state grant, and that's a mechanical device that's located on the bus that sets off an audible alarm when a student is within 2 feet of the bus. And we'll be piloting that again this year, too, and that dealt with the deaths that were in the loading zone here in Anchorage. And we did that all last year. We have some updated models which we now own, and we will be getting them out piloting them this year too. We have 17 of those.
So you basically would say a $3,000 grant would do it?
I think a $3,000 would do it.
I see. Well, maybe that's something we can talk about on the committee too. I don't have any further questions. Thank you very much, and Mr. Story. I see that Tammy Jones is online to testify from Homer. Are you there? Is there anybody else from Homer who would like to testify also?
Besides Tammy, I have a written statement that Millie Martin, she absolutely had to go. She had another commitment, another meeting. And if you'd like to hear that after Tammy, I'd be more than happy to share it. Right now, it's Tammy Jones.
Yes, and we would like you also to send that written comment to Nancy Bennett at the House Task Committee so we can include it in the committee file and distribute it to the members. Ms. Jones.
Jill, it's my mother, and I'm also a member of the McNeil Bus Safety Committee, which was formed about 18 months ago because of a numerous red light runners, as we call them here, in our area. We also deal from bus dogs that public of and children of other bus stop problems, such as the common book the lady before me read. We encourage and support House Bill 240. We want to thank Mr. Thompson for caring enough to put this, introduce this bill. There is a few things. Mr. Thompson mentioned earlier that he would like to see the teeth back in the bill, and I would agree to that. Right now, in Homer, up to the last couple of weeks, I don't know if you're familiar with Homer area, but the main drag, which is Pioneer Avenue, we had two per day as average and on that street alone. And that's less than a 2 mile road. And that's not counting all of the outlying areas, all the gravel roads. And only one per week was able to get enough identification, or the drivers felt that they had enough identification to even report that. There was a bus driver that told me last spring that he would sit at one area in the road with his flashing red lights for up to 3 minutes until a driver became aware of the bus enough to stop so the rest of the traffic would stop behind him before he would let his children off the bus. We have drivers that care, and I think that bus drivers that care, and I think that's the only thing that is saving our children right now.
Thank you very much, Ms. Jones.
We have a strobe light that is a pilot program on one of our buses. Last year, the driver that was on the bus, before it was weak, the strobe was put on a bus, had four red light runners at my stop, and plus additional drive violations. After he got that strobe put on his bus, he, as far as I recall, he did not have any more violations. I am a big supporter of this strobe light.
Thank you very much, Ms. Jones. I would like to note the presence of Representative Katie Hurley in Matsu. Katie, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry that I was late, but I was teaching a class of third graders, and I want you to know that one of the things they were talking to me about was safety belts on school buses, which I thought is very interesting. Old third graders asking about that.
Oh, fine. Well, just with your presence, we now have a quorum. We have, is there any comments you'd like to make first before we go back to the witnesses?
I'm just trying to catch my breath. I rushed back here, and I haven't even got my coat off yet, so I'm just listening. Thanks.
Okay. Are there questions of any committee member for Ms. Jones? Representative Thompson? Representative Hanley? Representative Hurley?
No.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Moderator in Homer, would you like to read for us Millie Martin's statement?
Thank you, I'd be happy to. One of the things I need to point out is Millie Martin is representative of the Homer PTA, also the PAC, Parent Advisory Committee, and she's a former school board member. She brought in with her this afternoon before she had to leave a recommendation, a resolution by the Kenai Peninsula School Rural School District regarding the loading and unloading of students, and I think I'll include that with the written statement. As it reads, thank you very much for your time. I'd like to encourage the legislature and the state to consider all of the House Bill 240 and its original state budget changes, which include recognition of a prima facie evidence. That is to require only identifying vehicles, the license number, and rotating the time, and noting the time and location of the incident to prosecute. Let the owners be responsible. To require an identification of the driver is next to impossible, particularly for a bus driver who is trying to protect his charges. In Homer, we have had the added disadvantage that we've had vehicles with only one way glass past the school bus. Although the vehicle was identified, the driver was not cited because of this flaw in the law. Had he killed someone because of this quirk of the law, he would not have been punished. There are 17 states in the Union that now have such laws in their books to protect their precious children. It is high time that the state of Alaska follows suit. Don't have to wait too far a tragedy before we act. I hope not. The incidence of vehicles passing buses is steadily increasing, and with it, a real danger of killing a child. It is statistically known that more fatalities occur outside of the school bus than in it. Please help us by passing this bill, HB 2240, as it was originally written, and to extend to our most precious resources, our children, this major protection.
thank you. If you could make sure that that statement and the resolution are sent to Nancy Bennett at the House Hess Committee, we would appreciate it. And we do very much, if either of you see Ms. Martin, if you could convey to her our thanks for making that statement and our apologies that we weren't able to hear from her in person.
Thank you, Mr. Clare.
Thank you. Next, we have Penny Little in Soldotna.
Hi, this is Penny Little.
Can
I come in all right?
You're just fine.
Okay, my name is Penny Little, L-I-T-L-E, and I'm a member of the Google Transportation Committee and the Google Transportation Association, and I'm the Transportation Coordinator for the NISBA, for Kenai Transfer Rural School District. And I just had a couple of thoughts on the bill. People who have reservations about identifying or not identifying a driver, if you get a parking ticket, the parking tickets are given to the registered owner of the vehicle. And the owner of that vehicle may be taken to court for parking tickets that are not promptly paid. It doesn't make any difference who drove the vehicle and parked it at the meter. The registered owner of that vehicle is responsible by law. The Kenai School District is very much in favor of this bill, and we'd like to thank everybody for helping out on it. Another thought was, there's nothing in the bill presently that one of the fellows here was mentioning to me. It gives a stiffer penalty for any additional offense. And I wondered if that was possible
for him. Thank you, Ms. Little. I'm not sure with respect to your last question what you're referring to.
In other words, if someone is prosecuted and found guilty for passing a school bus, loading or unloading children, if it occurs a second or a third time, is there a different penalty that could be imposed?
No, there is not in the present bill. There are provisions for one thing that happens with respect to any moving violation where you get demerit points. If you, like for example, were to pass a school bus and be convicted of it twice, you within a 12-month period and not have any specific mitigating kind of situations with what they call credit points, for example, you could lose your license. That's a real deterrent, and that it wouldn't even have to be a second passing a school bus, but a second moving violation. All of these moving violations have points assessed in varying amounts. So in that respect, you certainly do have an increased penalty if you have a number of moving violations.
Thank you. That's quite true. I realize that I was thinking monetarily that probably, whether it was in a 12-month period or not, that maybe a stiffer penalty would be practical or in this case.
Thank you for your comment. Any questions, Representative Thompson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The original bill called for repeated violators to have their eyes gouged out. But they told me that I wasn't allowed to go that route, so we had to back off just a little bit.
Thank you. We were thinking of things here in Soldotna, too, that could be done.
My kind of people. Thank you for testifying.
Representative Hurley. I'm sorry.
I don't have any questions. I'm just catching up on the... wanted to hear Dave still has a sense of humor.
Representative Hanley.
No question.
One thing that you can consider, and you might, Ms. Little, you might ask your borough attorney, Tom Bettiger, about this. I read in the paper today where the Supreme Court of the United States has recently said that different sovereign entities can punish the same crime, and you could get essentially punished both by, for example, the state government and the federal government. And I believe this also extends that you could be punished both by the state and by the local, for example, county. I'm not certain how that would work under Alaska municipal law. It's kind of a technical thing, but if Tom gives me a call, I'll be happy to chat with him about it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Any other questions from any members of the committee? If not, We have Mr. Bob Shefchik of Fairbanks. I'm sorry that we were so long getting to you. I didn't realize you had a plane. Please give us your name, spell your last name, and the group you represent.
Thank you. I'm Bob Shefchik, S-H-E-F-C-H-I-K, and I'm the Pupil Transportation Coordinator for the Fairbanks North Suburban School District. I'd like to thank you first for your efforts in bringing this back. It was disappointing and frustrating for most of us in the Pupil Transportation Committee last year when this bill died in committee, and to see your renewed efforts is very encouraging. I would like to speak in favor of the bill as written in this work draft. You know, obviously, it's not the same as we started out last year, but there's no question that this would be considerably more effective than what we have now. If we look at our common goal that we have, and that's protect our children, provide safe rides for them to and from school, a large part of that is obviously outside the bus, getting to the bus, crossing the street in the bus, and getting home. One of the things we do in the Fairbanks district because of this problem is we try and avoid left-hand student stops. You know, when I design a bus route, I'll look at a major road, and if I have two buses in the area, I'll make one run along the highway one way and one run along the highway the other way to avoid the potential for this happening. You don't quite understand what I'm saying. If you have a highway that runs east and west, and if you run a bus towards the east, all the students on that driver's left-hand side across the highway have to cross. And so we'll run one bus each direction in areas with serious stop arm problems. Just so that means if a bus does run our reds, there won't be a student in there. It's mildly inefficient, but it's a whole lot better than risking problems with students being out in that area where the car runs. We talked a little about the strobes. We do have the strobes on the buses in Fairbanks on the top of the bus. That does help. It makes the driver more aware that the bus is there. But a lot of times the driver knows the bus is there and run it anyway. What we want to look at is if we are going to protect our children, what is effective? One, we have to make the public more aware. Two, we have to be sure that when these violations do continue to occur, that the people that do them are addressed. And if you're thinking, if you're listening to these numbers of saying how many violations happen in Anchorage and Mat-Su and Soldotna, think about how many people you know that say, hey, I got a ticket for running a red. There aren't very many because that's not happening. And what your bill will do is make it so that the people who are still running the reds are brought into court and are fined. And you'll hear a whole lot more of that. You know, I got a ticket for running a red. That's not something you want to tell people when you're at church or you're at a school or you're at a PTA meeting. Hey, I ran a school bus red light and I got fined. You know, that kind of thing will get around. And that will be an effective method of having people stop. The strobe lights are good. The PSA messages are good. But bottom line is people are still running the reds. You know, anybody that works in pupil transportation has all kinds of stories of the cars running on the right-hand side of the roads, the dump trucks running on the left, and I won't share any more of those with you. Feel assured I have them too. Nothing is more frustrating than having someone do that and then stop and call me in my office and cuss me out for a bus stop in a stupid location. You know, that sort of thing, you just have to put up with right now. In summary, you know, in Fairbanks, we strongly support the bill. We are having difficulty in prosecution with the present law, and we'll do anything we can to assist you. And thank you for your efforts in this area.
Thank you, Mr. Shefchik. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one very brief response, opening comment. The bill didn't die in committee. We may have done a little surgery on it, but it's not dead. It's alive and well, and we're going to bring it back to life, and have every expectation that we can, and indeed will get it through the legislature this year.
Possibly I should have said emasculated rather than
died
in committee.
Representative
Hanson.
No questions. Representative Hurley, do you have any questions?
No, but you're coming in and out. I didn't hear all of that. You're the signal gets cut out of time, so I wasn't sure what you were just saying, but I do have Mr. Story here. We'd like to say something when it's convenient for him to break in again. has another suggestion.
Well, fine. Why don't we finish with Mr. Shafchak first? He has an airplane to catch. Just one thing that you can do, and that I'm looking at you, Ms. Hutchins, and you too, Romaine. The one thing that we're going to have to do is to get this not only through the House but through the Senate. And because your people you represent are from all over the state, it will be particularly important for you to contact your individual representatives. I agree with Representative Thompson. I don't think we'll have much trouble getting this through the House. The problem is going to be in making certain it goes through all the Senate committees this year, because otherwise we have to start all over again next year, and who needs to do that? And that's what you can do.
Thank you.
Good luck on your plane. Next, we have Mr. Steve Calmer from Anchorage. Would you please approach the mic?
My name is Steve Kalmus, and I'm Director of Transportation Services for the Anchorage School District.
Would you please spell your last name?
K-A-L-M-E-S. First of all, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I would also like to thank you for sponsoring this important piece of legislation. You have heard earlier from a number of people who work in the transportation field in the Anchorage District, specifically Ms. Conley, Ms. Packard, and Mr. Granger, who are employees of TMS. So you are aware of the magnitude of the problem here in Anchorage. As was stated earlier, they represent one terminal, one out of four that operate in the Anchorage area, about one quarter of the buses. We operate 254 buses here in Anchorage, transport of close to 18,000 students, travel millions of miles a year. The problem is tremendous. This issue is an important one that does deal with the safety of our children. Many people have already testified that most of the children who are injured and killed are, it is done so outside of the school bus. That is our area of concern. The 250 regular drivers and the 25 or 30 or 40 substitutes do an excellent job on a day-to-day basis watching out for those kids. There's some excellent programs going on, both in-house and with the contractors, trying to train the students to walk out in front of the bus, be aware of what's going on with traffic around them. But still, that's not enough. We need to have the motorists on the street aware of what the law is and have some teeth. As Bob Shafchak said, let them know, have penalties with it, so that the word gets out. People know that when you run a stop arm on a school bus, it is serious, and you'll have to answer for it. I think once the word gets out, people will realize what a problem it is. And also be careful in the areas around schools and just recognize that a school bus is there and it is a potential hazard. There are children around. I don't think enough of the public is aware enough, and that is one of our biggest problems. We do support House Bill 240. Again, we thank you for your time and effort that you put in. I am new to Alaska, and I'm really glad to see it's happening. There's a lot of interest throughout the state by the people in the field as well as community members, and I'm real excited to see that. I think it's important that you folks know. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kalmus. Representative Hurley, do you have any questions?
No, thank you.
Representative Hammer.
No questions.
Representative Thompson. Thank you very much, sir. I know that, Ms. Kareem, you wanted to testify last. Let me go back to Mr. Story and get his testimony. And Mr. Story, if you would approach the mic, we'd be glad to hear from you again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to know what the possibilities would be to take the assessment of the fines for the red light runners and to designate a portion of those fines at a percentage rate to either the Department of Education for school bus driver training education, driver education in the local school districts, and also ridership education. Mrs. Hutchins has shared some of the costs for developing the ridership curriculum and coloring book. I was just wondering what the possibilities would be to allocate funds from these fines to promote the education of students and drivers, which would probably alleviate a lot of our problem.
You'd have severe constitutional problems with that. You can't dedicate funds.
Max, I told him that, but there are ways that in the Finance Committee that they get around that by letters of intent, and I just thought that it was a good idea to be thinking about.
Well, that certainly is something we can consider. Thank you for your suggestion.
Thank you.
Okay, the final witness we have is Romaine Kareem. Ms. Kareem, please give us your name, spell your last name, and the group you represent.
Good morning. Goes to the lock position. Okay. My name is Romaine Kareem. I'm with the Department of Education. I'm the administrator of the school transportation program for the state. We appreciate the opportunity to be able to testify on this bill, and thank you, Representative Thompson, for your efforts last year to get this going, and Representative Grunberg for your efforts to make it constitutional and pass. And we appreciate your participation, Representative Hanley and Representative Hurley, in this hearing, too. In my annual meeting with counterparts in other states, the most frequent problem that's mentioned is passing of stopped school buses and what can be done about it. And we appreciate the efforts in Alaska to try to do something. This is the most frequent problem that I hear, too, when I visit different contract and school district operations and visit with drivers. They want help, they need something, and we think that this is going to help resolve the problem in Alaska. And really think it'll do the job. Statistics issued by the National Safety Council indicate that in 1983, 55 students were killed in school bus-related accidents. Of these, 10 were killed inside of the school bus, 45 were outside of the bus. As Mr. Soule indicated, of the number killed outside of the bus, approximately half were killed by the bus itself, and the remainder were killed by motorists that passed stopped school buses that were loading and unloading students. So we do have a national problem, and we've got a severe problem in Alaska, just like other states do, too. We do not want to see fatalities happen in Alaska in this manner, and we think this legislation will be a big help to reduce the number of incidences of passing violations. The Department of Education is in total support to this proposed legislation, and we'll be of whatever assistance we can to gather information, provide testimony, make contacts in other states, or whatever, to enable passage of this legislation.
A couple of questions I have first. I don't know, and the other members of the committee may disagree with me, but one question that may come up from the Division of Motor Vehicles is whether we should have the penalties in this statute or just leave it to a regulation. As I indicated, my own view is we ought to have it in the statute, so it's tough, it's set, it can't be changed by somebody who's not responsible to the public somewhere else. I don't know if the other members of the committee feel differently, but if in fact there is a similar feeling on the committee, one thing that the Department of Education can do is to support that so we can keep it tough and in the law. David, do you have any thought on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, except to say that, as I've already stated, it's my intent to make this as tough as we can possibly make it. I'm only recede of my instinct in that regard unless I'm convinced that it would jeopardize the passage of this bill. So.
Yeah, I don't want to jeopardize the bill. I had one other thing, too, and that is something that we have been talking about, which is the grant program for the strobe lights. Do you plan in your budget to make such a request? And I'm talking about the $3,000 request.
We have not in past budgets, and it's my understanding that increments are not being approved in the governor's office for the 87 budget request or additional dollars. So it would come out of our general appropriation for school transportation, which is in the 700 line item coding grants to school districts for transportation.
Would you be willing to do that?
So
in other words, you can handle that administratively?
Yes, we can handle that administratively and have with past grants to the School Bus Safety Committee.
So
worthwhile projects.
Is there any there's no legislative action that would be necessary. We could take some if you wish, but I think I'm speaking on our behalf. If we indicate we support that grant, would like to see it go forward.
The biggest support would be a supplemental appropriation for additional dollars beyond our contract.
No chance.
Okay. How could you help us?
Spoken like a true bureaucrat. I just, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I mention that Representative Larson and myself both sit on the budget subcommittee for the Department of Education. I'm quite certain that we can discuss this with the representatives. Taken care of. I appreciate this being brought to our attention because if very minimal amount of money, and it sounds like it might do a great deal of good. We'll definitely take a look at that.
While we're talking about this, I might speak to the increment request that we had for 87 budget, and that was for school bus driver training and school bus inspection program. The department, with the assistance of two very productive committees working on inspections and driver training, have come up with a master plan for school bus driver training, a required program in the state, and enhanced school bus inspection program. And two very worthwhile projects that are going to take funding in order to get the programs off the ground. And we'll be very pleased to share the master plan and the proposed budget request with interested parties on that. For the safety of kids, the majority of accidents, as I indicated, are outside the school bus. We need safe school buses, we need trained drivers, and we need trained students in proper school bus safety. That's our goal.
Thank you. On behalf of the committee, I would request that you provide the committee with that information, and then we can transmit it around. Other questions? Representative Thompson? Representative Hanley?
Sure.
Representative Hurley?
No, but you're breaking in and out again. There's something wrong with the line today. As I understand, it's been really poor. I'm sorry about that.
Is it just me, Katie, or is it everyone here?
It's not just when you speak. It's when other people speak. I think it must be the line out from, I don't know how that operates, but it's not a very good line today.
Okay, well, maybe the staff can do that. I believe this is going to conclude the hearing. Is there anyone else from anywhere on the network who desires to testify? Hearing none, it is now 3:52, and we are adjourned.